Okay, so we spent some time speaking about the original Hakadosha of the Karban, the original time in which we're Makdish it and what it takes to be Makdish it. And then we spent a lot of time on the four, I guess we would say, primary Avodas Hadam. The four Avodas, Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. And we've done, I think, we're pretty familiar with those primary Avodas. Once we've sort of gone through those, we're now going to try to go through a variety of other things that happen and take place with the Karban, some of which happen before Shechita, as we'll see tonight, some of them a bit afterwards, but our goal is, again, to get as familiar as we can with all that is going on. So let's begin as follows. The Torah teaches us in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra that when a person brings a Karban, so here the Torah says it in the beginning about Karban Ola, at the first Karban mentioned, but it's found by other Karbanos as well. The Torah tells us, V'samach yado al rosh ha'ola, that a person should do smicha, that a person should put their hands on the head of the Ola, and then V'nir tzelo l'chapir alav, it seems to be connected to kapara, as we will come back to. What is smicha? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, Perek Gimel Halacha Yugimel, what is smicha? Tzarech ha'somech lismoch b'chol kocho b'shtei yadav al rosh ha'behema. The first thing is the Rambam, what is smicha? Smicha, you have to put both of your hands on the head of the animal, b'chol kocho, with all of your strength. That's the definition of smicha. The second thing to know about smicha, we're going to begin with some basic halachas about smicha. The second thing the Rambam writes here, also in Hilchos Maaseh Karbanos, smicha has to be done without a chatzitza between your hands and the animal. It has to be direct, my hands going on the animal, no chatzitza, nothing separating us at all. Which karbanos do we do smicha with? Which karbanos do we do smicha with? So there is a Mishnah in Menachos on Daf Sadi Beis. The Mishnah Menachos tells us that with most karban sibors, a karban that's offered by Klal Yisrael as a whole, with most karban sibors, ain't bahem smicha. There's no smicha. The only possible exceptions are the Seir HaMishtaleach and the Par Haba Kol HaMitzvos, two minor exceptions that for other reasons are minor, two important exceptions for another time. But most of the Karban Sibors, other than the Seir HaMishtaleach and the Par Haba Kol HaMitzvos, if Bnei Yisrael makes the mistake, we have to offer a Karban Sanhedrin as a result. So that's done. Smicha is done there. But more ordinarily, Karban Sibor has no smicha. The opposite, though, when it comes to Karban Yachid, the Mishnah tells us, almost all Karban Yachid, individual brings a Karban, he is Chayev. He is Chayev to do smicha. The only exceptions are Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. That the Karban Bechor, the firstborn of a kosher animal, that gets brought as a Karban, no din of smicha. Meiser, the tenth, that we learned about Metzia last year on Davav, that you don't have to bring no smicha for, and the Karban Pesach, no smicha at all. No smicha at all. So we saw a little bit thus far. Smicha is all of your weight on the animal. Smicha, no separation between your hands and the animal. Most Karban Sibors don't have smicha, though there are some exceptions. Most Karban Yachids do have smicha, though Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach, those are an exception. Who does smicha? So the Mishnah Menachos tells us that a Yoreish, somebody who inherits a Karban, does do smicha. That if a person was makdish a Karban and they passed away, their Yoreish brings the Karban and the Yoreish does smicha. However, the Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph, a very famous Mishnah, the Mishnah there tells us that men do smicha, but women do not do smicha. Women do not do smicha on Karbanos. Why? Because the Torah tells us, it says, B'nei Yisrael, in the context of smicha, B'nei Yisrael somchen, B'ein B'nos Yisrael somchos. So it's something which is done by men, it's not done by women. The Rambam elaborates in Hilchos Maaseh Karbanos, not only is it not done by women, but it's also, Nischazal Hav, not done by a Cheresh Otevet Katan, it's not done by a non-Jew, it's not done by an Eved, all of those people do not do smicha at all. So we saw just a little bit of basic background information that when a person brings a karban, it ends up, the last piece of information, prior to shechita, right before shechita, you do smicha. You do smicha on the animal. It's true with all of your weight. Most karbanos yachid not most karbanos tzibor. A yorish does it, women don't do it. That's some of the basic background information of smicha. We have to figure out is how exactly to recategorize the idea of smicha. What exactly is the goal or function of smicha? What exactly is its purpose? And here we'll speak generally about two mahalchem, about two mahalchem. On the one hand, it's possible, we'll develop one at a time. The first mahalach, and Rabbi Lichtenstein has an article on smicha b'kachim, which is very, very nice. A lot of this, he said that very, very clearly. But the first is as follows. It's possible that smicha has nothing to do with the karban itself. You wouldn't call it an avoda that transforms or impacts the karban in any meaningful way. It's a chiyuv on the bailim. It's a chiyuv on the one that brings it. It's a chovas hagavra. But it doesn't actually transform the chefta in any significant way. It's a chiyuv on the gavra. In that sense, it would not technically be called an avoda. It would not technically be called an avoda. That is a line. That's a line that the Tovas HaRush says. He refers to mismicha she'ena avoda el chova hakluya bebailim. She'ena avoda. The Tovas HaRush kedush nafla mechav. It's not an avoda. It's a chiyuv incumbent upon the bailim. A chiyuv incumbent upon the bailim. So writes the Tovas HaRush. Okay. If that's so, that it's not an avoda, but it's a chiyuv incumbent upon the bialim that they have to do. So if Lichtenstein points out, we understand one halacha potentially very clearly. Why is it that most carbon seabors, have no smicha? Why do most carbon seabors have no smicha? Because if it's a chiyuv on the bialim, it is a minimum very likely, probably a machlokas achronim, likely a machlokas harishonim, maybe even a machlokas in the Tanayim a bit, but it's very possible that in a carbon seabor there are no bialim. There's no such thing as bialim in a carbon seabor. Why? Because in a carbon seabor, there's no individual owner of it, and seabor may be very different than shutfin. Shutfin's where there's multiple individuals that happen to own a carbon. Seabor, it could be that there's no recognizable individual. We view it as the collective entity of Klal Yisrael that owns the karban. So if the goal of smicha is a chiyuv on the bailim, on the owners, and whenever you're dealing with the tzibor, no one happens to really be owning it. So that's why there wouldn't be smicha in those cases. That's why there would be smicha in most karban yachids where there are bailim. Of course, you have to explain for that. So what's happening with the exceptions? Why is it that Sir HaMishtaleach does have smicha? Why is it that the Parabal Klamitvos does have smicha? Is the pshat, we would point out, that maybe those are unique carbon seabors that almost like do have bialim. Maybe the Sanhedrin plays more of a role, which is why three members of Sanhedrin do it. This was going over the Shirin from Horios from a bunch of years ago. Maybe there really are bialim that happen to be there. Or possibly, it's an exception to the normal rule, but the general mahalach, that's what it is. Now, if we want to define this mahalach one step further, so what does it mean that the goal of smicha is a chiyuv on the bailim? Okay, but what's the nature of it? What's behind this chiyuv of smicha? What's it geared to? What's it supposed to accomplish? So I think that you can go potentially one step further. If you look in the pasuk, v'samach yado al rosh ha'ola, v'nirtzelo l'chaper alav. It seems like smicha is very much tied to kapara. That smicha is very much tied to kapara. If you look as an example even, the Rambam in Maisa Karbanos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yudalin, which is similar discussions in Meseches Yuma, the Rambam writes, Ketzat Somech, what does smicha look like? He says, if it's a karban kodesh kedushim, you go wherever you go. Miniach shtei yadav bein shtei karnav. You put your hands on the animal, and what do you do while you're doing smicha? Umisvade al chatas, and then you do vidoy at the time in which you are doing smicha. So if it's a chiyav habaylim, so what exactly is the nature of this obligation incumbent upon a person who does smicha? Smicha is part of his tshuva process. That we know that many karbanos, many karbanos are there to accomplish a degree of kapara. Chatas, you get kapara for the kind of sin that had I done b'mezid, I would have been chayav kares. If I do it b'shogeg, I'm chayav chatas. A karban ola also gives you kapara, either for mitvos ase you didn't do, or for hirhurei avera. It could be, an asham gives you kapara for very specific sins, but it's likely that also a karban mincha may give you kapara, the Netziv points out in a bunch of places. It could be that a karban shlamim gives you kapara, as Netziv points out in a couple of different places, that because part of what a karban does is give you kapara for a sin, so tshuva also becomes important. Tshuva becomes important also as part of bringing a karban. Achronim discuss what the exact relationship is between my own chiv of tshuva and the bringing the karban, but they certainly go together. I sinned, I have to bring a karban, I have to do tshuva. Smicha is an avoda, which is part of your tshuva process. Part of your tshuva process. If this is true, lichora, we could understand an additional halacha. Every karban yachad requires smicha, with the exception of Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. Why are Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach the exceptions? Because Chazal do imply that Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach are not brought for kapara, are not brought for kapara. Those karbanos don't come because of a sin. We don't bring Karban Pesach because we sinned. We don't bring a Bechor because we sinned, or Meiser because we sinned. And perhaps, maybe that's why there's no smicha in those cases, because there isn't an element of kapara taking place there. Parentheses. If you're wondering about Karban Shlamim, but as Hashem Yisbarach, maybe next week or the following week or in 3 weeks, whatever it is, we'll speak about Karban Shlamim's smicha vidoy relationship. It certainly may, except for the Karban Tzibors that may give kapara that are not those two, which is where it's a little bit more tricky. But that's the first mahalach. That's the first mahalach. In that sense, it becomes part of it in a more meaningful way. However, there is a second potential mahalach. And this Rav Lichtenstein tries to develop, as do other achronim. And we're going to try to elaborate at least a little bit on part of this. And that is that maybe the Tosfos writes, that it's only a chiv on the bailim, but it's not really an avoda. Maybe that's not entirely true for all Rishonim. Maybe there are Rishonim who maintain that smicha actually is not an avoda on the karban as critical or as necessary as some of the others. Not as critical as shchita, kabbalah, zrika, etc. But maybe it does somehow contribute to the karban itself. It's treated more like an avoda, Now, it's not ma'akev. Smicha's not ma'akev. If you would offer a karban, you wouldn't do smicha, it wouldn't be ma'akev. But maybe it still on some level is like an avoda. Where do we see that it's like an avoda? So Lichtenstein points out, as do some others, from a comment to the Tosfos Rid in Gidn and Daf Tav Ches. One of the major sugyas about smicha comes from the Gemara and Daf Tav Ches and Meseches Gidn. How come? Because Tosfos points out in a bunch of places, there seems to be a stira between a bunch of places in Chazal about whether we would lichatchila send a karban if smicha couldn't be done to it. Everybody agrees if a woman sends a karban, it could be done with that smicha because women aren't chayavos in smicha. But what about cases where a man, who all else being equal, would be chayav to do smicha, but for some reason he's not able to? What are examples? If he's tameh, he can't go and do smicha on the animal. Do we still send the karban? Do we not send the karban? Or the case in the Gemara in Gidn and Daf Tav Ches, if a person is b'medinas hayam, the person's not near the Beis HaMikdash. So the halacha is, Rashi quotes in Gidin and Daf Ches, the Rambam like this also, the Torah's Kohanim says that only the Baal HaKarban can do smicha, the Shliach can't do smicha. So can we still send a Karban from Chutz La'aretz? There seem to be stiras in different Gemaras. Would we say it's okay for a person who ordinarily could do smicha, would we say that he would be allowed to send a karban if smicha wouldn't be done? If he happens to be tameh, if he happens to be b'medinas hayam, Would that be considered okay? Would it not be considered okay? Tosfos speaks about this in Maseches Zvachim. Tosfos in Maseches Gittin. The Tosfos Harid in the Piskei Harid also has a comment that is very intriguing and that many Achronim sort of jump on a little bit. There is a klal. The klal is a klal that some of us may be familiar with. It's originally from the context of a Karban Mincha. It's a Gemara Menachos, but the klal gets extended to other contexts also. Kol ha-roi le-bila ein bila ma'akev esbo. That sometimes there are halachas, let's say with the Karban Mincha, where you have to mix certain things. And we understand that kol ha-roi le-bila, as long as it could have been mixed, maybe that is considered to be sufficient. Maybe you don't actually need to mix it, as long as the potential to be mixed. So maybe that would be okay. The din of kol ha-roi le-bila ein bilaso ma'akeves. If you could do it, it does not become ma'akev. It does not become, strictly speaking, critical. That comes up, derech agav, Achronim quoted, Shagas Aryeh week here, I guess, that does come up in a couple of different contexts, kol ha-roi le-bila. It may be pshat in a shita of Rabbeinu Tam. There are some rishonim that learn the din of mipihem velo mipiksavam. That when an aide testifies, an aide has to be able to speak. Not he can't send in, he can't write down aidas. But some rishonim understand you could send in a letter as long as he has the potential to speak. As long as he could speak, so kol ha-roi le-bila, similar idea. As long as he has the potential to speak, maybe that would be good enough. What's intriguing about the Tosfos Rid invoking the idea of kol ha-roi le-bila, at least one way of saying it's as follows. Typically, when we invoke this halacha of kol ha-roi le-bila, that's a halacha invoked when we're talking about defining requirements for objects. So I have a karban mincha, and I want to understand the status of this karban mincha. Something has to be done to the karban mincha. So sometimes we say, as long as you have the potential to do it, that's enough. As long as you have the potential to do it, that's enough. Now, the logic or rationale behind kol ha-roi le-bila is very much not clear. There's a Friskin Rav in Minachos, there's a Rashbam in Baba Basra. There's a lot of discussion about what's behind it. But often that din of kol ha-roi le-bila is associated more with like an item. Is the item kosher? Is the item not kosher? It sounds, therefore, because the Rid invokes this, the Karen Ora in Zvachim is explicit, it's just a Chobas HaBailim. No din of kol ha-roi le-bila is relevant here. But for the Tosfos Rid, which also gets into that, Tosfos Rid, it sounds like maybe on some level, this is part of something which is supposed to, ideally at least, enhance the karban. Or for certain karbanos, it contributes to the cheftza. And the idea being, some things that contribute to the cheftza, as long as there's potential, that's good enough. As long as there's potential, that's considered to be good enough. What gets a little bit more complicated, though, is the next question, which is, if it is a din in an avoda, that it's something about the carbon itself or the process of bringing the carbon, that smicha plays a role, so in what way? In what way? It's not ma'akev. It certainly is not, strictly speaking, required. A carbon is kosher without smicha. But in what way, if I do smicha, what does that enhance about the carbon? Or how in what way is that considered to be part of the avoda of the karbanos? Where do we see that smicha plays any kind of a role like that? So some point out, or listening as well, some point out that there really are two very intriguing formulations in the Gemaras in Maseches Menachos, there in Tzadi Beis and Tzadi Gimel, Gemara in Brachos also, about smicha. That maybe smicha is not in and of itself an independent avoda, but it seems to be very, very connected to a different kind of avoda, or at least process of bringing a karban. The first is as follows. The Gemara tells us in a couple of places, tekef le smicha, what do you have to have? Shchita. That smicha and shchita always have to take place, right after the other. You do smicha, you automatically do shchita. Akedei kach, that Achronim asked a question. The Rambam tells us if you have five shutfin, if you have five partners in an animal, they each do smicha one after the other. The Achron has the kasha. Well, isn't there a gap then between the first smicha and the shechita? They're very, very connected. Not only are they connected in time-wise, but they seem to have some similar halachas. Where do we see they have some similar halachas? So if you look in Rambam, the Rambam points out that in the same place, the Rambam emphasizes, wherever you shecht the animal, so in that exact same place, you have to also do smicha. That smicha and shechita take place in the exact same location. It seems like there's a very strong connection between smicha and shechita. Where else do you see this? In a Hava Amina. This thing Rambam does not point out, but in a Hava Amina, it was Hava Amina of Tosfos. The Gemara wonders, the Tosfos asks the following question. You know, you can only do smicha during the day. It's a Mishnah in Megillah. You can only do smicha during the day. The Gemara in Kiddushin quotes a Gzeirus HaKasav that women can't do smicha. B'nei Yisrael somchos ve'ein b'nos Yisrael somchos. Wonders Tosfos, why do we have to have a special Gzeirus HaKasav teaching me that women don't do smicha? Haray, it's a mitzvah saseh shas man grama. You can only do it during the day. And because it's a mitzvah saseh shas man grama, lichora, it should have been obvious that women don't do smicha. And this has some assumptions about mitzvah saseh shas man grama, which we're not speaking about right now, which we're not going to speak about, but that's Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos says, in hachinami, there's no real reason why I would have thought that women would have to do smicha. It's a mitzvah seish as man grama. But I could have had a hava amina that since smicha and shechita are so connected, since me ikir hadin, it seems like women could do shechita, so I would have thought that just like women do shechita, women also do smicha. So I have to have a special gezeiros hakasav. In that sense, what seems to emerge is that maybe smicha is not only a chiyuv incumbent upon the bialim as part of their tshuva process, but maybe smicha also is somehow like a din in the karban, or it contributes, it's connected to shechita. It raises up the quality of the shechita when it's done following a smicha. It's not so clear exactly what that does. It's more that we see a link between them, but it's not per se so evident what exactly the link is, or in what way smicha may sort of like contribute to a shechita. That's not so clear. There is, however, another idea where the Gemara in Menachos refers to smicha in a very intriguing way. The Gemara says maybe smicha is really what should be called Sof Hektish. At the final act, the Gemara calls it this, the final act of being Makdish a Karban is Smicha. It's Sof Hektish. Sof Hektish. Okay? This idea is a little bit intriguing. What it seems to mean is as follows, and because we learned about Hakdashas HaKarban, I think this will make a lot more sense. If you remember, one of the things that we saw, and the Chazon Ish developed this idea at length, is that when it comes to being makdish, a karban, it's not all or nothing, but there's often multiple steps of being makdish. As an example, so Rav Lichtenstein pointed out one gemara, which is more famous, we'll elaborate a bit on this. Rav Lichtenstein pointed out, haray the gemara, but what about the bechor? Record this, a bechor is kadosh me'rechem. When a bechor comes out, it's already kadosh. Nevertheless, the Gemara quotes a daya and bechoros nadarim and erchen, I think, at least, that mitzvah lahakdisho. There's a mitzvah to be makdish it, even though it was already kadosh. That sometimes when you're being makdish a karban, it's worthwhile to have multiple acts of hektish. The Chazon Ish elaborated even more on this, if you remember this a little bit. Remember the Gemara in Sota and Daf Yadalit. Initially, we're makdish a karban. I'm irasul legavok, kimishrasul lehedyot, or machshava, I'm makdish a karban. When you shecht the animal, that may, we saw some days in Chazal, we should elaborate on this, that when you shecht an animal, how am I being makdish the animal more? Because I shecht it and then the dam becomes more kadosh. I'm shechting it with the dam. that may be why for some reason the Shechita requires a Kli Sharis. If you remember, the Gemara says, but wasn't it already Kadosh? Yeah, but the Shechita adds an additional Kedusha. If you remember, the Gemara there in Sotah says it's another level of Hekdesh. What's the other level of Hekdesh? There's Kabbalah. What's Kabbalah? What do you catch the dam in? A Kli Sharis, which also is Makdashim. There's Kedusha, Achar Kedusha, Achar Kedusha. When a person's Makdash a Karban, there are multiple steps along that process. What I think, you'll take it or leave it, but what I think that's what's going on here, the same phenomenon, we refer to smicha as being Sof Hekdesh. Just like Shechita has the ability to give Kedusha to the blood, but if I don't, it's not Ma'akev, because the Kli Sharis for the Kabbalah, the Gemara said, is going to be Makdash it. So smicha is not Ma'akev. But if you do smicha, it's connected to that world of Hakdashas HaKarban. It's connected to that world of Hakdashas HaKarban. It helps me Makdash the Karban even more. How are we this far? I want to make one more Ha'arab. How are we this far? 1, 2, and 3. General priority? Okay. Yeah, is that we often find with Karbanos that there are multiple stages of Kedusha. You're Makdash a Karban originally. When you shech the carbon, the Gemara says, you're makdash the blood a bit. When you catch it, you're makdash the blood even more. It is often, the Chazal point out, there's multiple levels of Kedusha when you're makdash the carbon. I wonder about the following. Is it possible that in many ways, that we developed tonight the idea of smicha? And we saw that smicha is with all of your might on the carbon's head. Most carbon yachids, not carbon seabors. We saw that when it comes to smicha, that women don't do it, men do. Cheresh v'katan, not able to. A yoresh can, a shidnah. But what we saw which is intriguing, is that there's two, generally speaking, two mahalchim. One mahalach is a mahalach in which it's a chovas habayalim, it's part of my tshuva process. The other is, it's part of like the avodas hakarbanos. It connects to shechita, it's like becomes like part of what hands to shechita, or it's like the final step of the actual hakdasha. Clarity as a whole thus far? 1, 2, for clarity? Okay. I want to point out two things very briefly in terms of a deepening. What's a nafkamina if smicha is more connected to shechita, or if it's more connected to sof hakdasha? What's a nafkamina? So I'll throw out a potential nafkamina. I apologize, I was not been feeling that well, I'm going to look it up. But there is a Briska Rav in Erechan on Daf Beis at some point out. The Briska Rav in Erechan is the following Shaila. What happens if a guy is makdish a carbon? And he brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And, again, at least be svara, this is a potential nafkamina. And he does smicha on the animal. And then he dies. Do we say he already did smicha, so now we can just shech the animal? Or do we say that the yoresh of that karban is chayev to do a new smicha prior to the shechita? A new smicha prior to the shechita. If you understand that smicha is more connected to the original hakdasha, so the original bialim, he did everything, he even did the smicha. He even did smicha, it's all over now. But if you understand that smicha is connected to shechita, that smicha enhances the shechita, so it's possible that if the original guy did the smicha but wasn't around for the shechita, so maybe we want the yoresh, who's going to be the owner of the karban when it comes to the shechita, that we're going to want the yoresh to do the smicha first. Maybe, I don't know, you'll take it or leave it. Maybe we'll leave it at that. We spoke tonight about the idea of smicha, some interesting ideas about the way that smicha works and what happens. But Ezra Hashem, again, we'll go through more of these kinds of avodas to get more and more insight.